Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Before we get started with this episode, I want to share something that I think could be a game changer for your classroom. Now, as a former special education teacher, one of the things I struggled with the most was creating activities, resources, and curriculum for my classroom. I did not realize that that was part of my job. I have spent the last 10 years developing the Autism Helper curriculum based on what was missing from my former classroom. And now we finally have a way for school districts to purchase this curriculum directly for their teachers. The Autism Helper Curriculum Access is an annual subscription that provides access to all levels and subjects of our curriculum. This curriculum is rooted in evidence-based practices, it's aligned to the standards, and we just completed our pilot case study showing the overall effectiveness. To learn more about how your district can get curriculum access, head over to theautismhelper.com and click Curriculum Access.
Hi, I'm Sasha Long, special ed teacher and board certified behavior analyst. Welcome to the Autism Helper podcast. I'm here to explore different strategies to improve the lives of individuals with autism.
Welcome back to the Autism Helper podcast. Now, we're a few weeks into the school year for most of you. Maybe some of you just started a week or two ago, but whatever point you are at, let's spend some time talking about the start of the year priorities. Because I think it's easy to get caught up into some shoulds, where I should be, what I should be doing. And we want to make peace with that some of the shoulds just aren't applicable for our students and our classrooms right now, and that's okay. Because we shouldn't be focused on data. We shouldn't be focused on our lesson plans. We shouldn't be there yet. We will. We have the whole school year to take data and worry about paperwork and get to assessments. What we should be doing right now in the start of the school year is be worried about rapport, is be setting up a good structure, is be having a routine-based environment, and making sure that the environment is safe. Those are the shoulds that I want you to worry about, and that's it. And I think the stressor sometimes is that the way it is now is the way it's going to be the whole year. But remember, our year evolves, and we're going to continuously evolve throughout the whole year. What our year looks like in September is going to be different than what it looks like in October and November, and that will be different than what it looks like in January and February. We are constantly leveling up, but we need to establish essential foundations at the start of the year. If you join me for some of my webinars over the summer, we spent a lot of time talking about proactive, antecedent-based interventions. We talked about things that we could even do before our students set foot in the door that would prevent problem behaviors. We talked about things to do in those first 30 days of school. None of those things involved collecting data or pulling out your VB map book right away. We'll get to that. We will. But we need the strong foundation first. So let's dive into what that strong foundation looks like and what we should be prioritizing in the start of the year. So no matter what type of educator you are, special ed teacher, gen ed teacher, clinician, specials teacher, the start of the year is about rapport. You want to establish a good relationship with your students. If you can establish rapport, trust, a good environment where your students feel seen, heard, that they can communicate their wants and needs. If you can establish this, everything else is easier. De-escalation is easier. We're going to be talking about that soon, future weeks. Engagement is easier. Collaboration is easier. Cooperation is easier. Establishing reinforcers is easier. You can build upon this. If you miss the step of rapport, it is an uphill battle the entire year. And you know which teachers, your colleagues, you know which teachers miss that step. You know exactly which ones. You're like picturing them in your head right now. I know. You see them. You're like, yep, yep. I know her, right? But students aren't the only ones that you need to work on rapport with. This isn't something we talk about as much. I spend a lot of time talking about student rapport. But who else do we need to establish rapport with? We also need to work on establishing rapport with your staff. Spend a lot of time talking about staff training and collaboration. If you have new team members, new paraprofessionals in your classroom this year, the start of the year is also about establishing rapport with them. I know. You're like, ugh, I haven't been doing that. Do it. Again, it's going to make your whole year easier. Part of this process is increasing cooperation and collaboration. Just like with your students, you will get more of that with your team members if you establish rapport. Remember, rapport is defined as a harmonious relationship between two people where they feel respected and they can communicate their wants and needs. Do your team members feel that? Are you so in your own zone when you enter your day that you don't take the few minutes to greet your team members, to ask them how their weekend was, to ask them about their family, their hobbies? It's not fun to work in a vacuum where there's no personal relationships. Taking the time to establish personal relationships, even if it's just a few minutes before the kids walk in, allows the establishment of that rapport. And then that later allows for better, harmonious relationships during those work moments. We work better when we have good relationships with people, when we like our coworkers. That's just human nature. I mean, think back to various jobs you've had, even non-teaching jobs. If you worked at like a grocery store, a retail store, if you liked your coworkers, you wanted to go to work, right? You enjoyed being there. Maybe right now at the job you're at, you like your coworkers, so it makes you want to come to work. Maybe right now you don't like your coworkers and makes you not want to come to work. So consider that. We want to not only establish rapport with our students, we're establishing rapport with our staff. The third group that we need to work on establishing rapport with are the parents and caregivers of our students. Especially for us as special ed teachers, this is a group that we need to really, really focus on. Because this is a group, parents and caregivers of students with special needs, that may have a negative learning history with teachers. I'm just going to say it. They may have that negative learning history because they have had to fight. They have maybe had to get into literal battles to get their child what they need and deserve. Not with you, but with a previous teacher. And yeah, you shouldn't have to be accountable for that or be guilty for what that previous teacher did, but you're in the same field, right? So it's kind of hard to separate that. They don't know you yet. So when you come in, they're kind of hesitant. They're like, well, man, 3 years ago, I had to almost go to due process because that teacher 3 years ago wouldn't give my child what they needed and deserved. And yeah, you would never do that, but they don't know that yet. They don't know you. So they're going to come in slow. You got to win them over. I am not a parent of a child with special needs, and I am never going to pretend to know what that's like. I spend a lot of time speaking with parents of special needs. I have a lot of my favorite podcast episodes I've ever done of amazing rock star parents of children with special needs that have talked about the struggles they have had. I can't even begin to imagine what that's like to, at every turn, have to fight and advocate again and again and again when they have their own jobs and their own lives and other kids to also worry about. God, it must be exhausting. And then the new year, there's a new teacher and they're hoping that it's going to be good, but they don't know. Their guard's up. Their wall's up. They've been burned. And that's not you, but you got to win them over. So how do you do that? You got to show them you're on their team right away. So that's rapport building. Coming in right away and saying, I am here for you. What can we do to have a great relationship? How do you want to communicate? I love little steps of like, what's the best method of communication? You like text message? You like email? You like a notebook? How often do you want to communicate? What are your priorities? Get in front of it. We talk about proactive interventions. Be proactive here. Let's not be responsive and reactive. Be proactive with our parents too. Let's get ahead of it. What's going to work best for you, mom or dad? And have those conversations to show that like, hey, I am not that teacher 3 years ago that let your kid sit in a dirty diaper for 3 hours. That's not me. I would never do that. But you have to acknowledge that learning history that parent has and take the steps to establish rapport with that parent and caregiver too. So that's the big time of priority right now is rapport with your students, with your staff, with your parents. The other big priority right now is structure and routine. I had a teacher message me a few days ago that was like, hey, I'm in a cluster program, super understaffed. Half my kids have major toileting needs. Most of them are in kindergarten first. One of them climbs on the walls. There's advice everywhere. I don't even know where to start. And I felt her on the like, there's advice everywhere. I was like, oh, because there is advice everywhere, right? When I started teaching, there's no Pinterest. There's no blogs. There's no Instagram. Like I would have loved to have this all, but maybe I wouldn't. Maybe it would have been too much. And this is where you want to start. You want to start with just structure and routines. Not work tasks yet. Not airless bins. Not data. Not VBMAP. Not ABLES. That'll all come. Not even maybe textbooks. Just simple. Put your kids in a few groups. Have simple rotation of schedules. And at the centers, the activities are super fun. Magnetiles, Play-Doh, shaving cream, coloring, Barbies, things they want to do. Super fun activities. We're not on work tasks yet. We're just learning the structure. We're learning the routine. Hey, I come to this table and I sit down and I do something. The something that I do is a fun thing. But that's it. That's all I'm working right now is that structure and that routine. That is the big priority. The last thing that is a big priority right now is safety. So that last piece in that teacher's message to me as I have this kid that climbs is that would be where my priority goes. The toileting also popped out to me because, you know, that hypothetical thing I said of like the bad teacher, like my kid sat in a, you know, dirty diaper for multiple hours. We don't want that. That's a safety issue because that's dangerous if you get like a health thing going on. So toileting, important. Get those kids on schedules. But the other thing is safety. If we have behavior plans, if we have students with aggression, with self-injury, that's your priority. Any little behaviors that are not dangerous, they're picking their nose, they're ripping paper, they're doing something that kind of bugs you but isn't dangerous. Who cares? Let it go. They're singing the Scooby-Doo theme song real loud. Cool. Not hurting anyone. Climbing up shelves that are not anchored to the walls, I'm worried about that. Pinching other people, I'm worried about that. Banging my head on a metal bookshelf, I'm worried about that. Picking my nose and eating it, I don't care. So we want to prioritize safety issues, big behaviors. We want that behavior plan up to date. If you have a behavior consultant or a BCBA in your school, you want to become best friends with them. And you want to be figuring out what triggers are going on right away. But guess what? The two things that we already talked about, rapport and structure and routine, help with that. So we're kind of already doing it by doing those other two things. We're already addressing safety when we address rapport and we address structure and routine. So give yourself some grace and cut yourself some slack if you're like, oh my God, I haven't addressed IEP goals yet. You are addressing IEP goals by focusing on student rapport and focusing on routine and structures. Because when you get the foundation of this down, you're enabling yourself to really, really get into IEP goals in late September and October when you have the big foundation down. So the start of the year is about rapport, structure and routine, and safety. And when you establish this in a really big way, the rest of the year is going to be amazing.
Thanks for listening to the Autism Helper podcast. If you liked what you heard and want to hear more, hit subscribe. It would mean a lot to me if you left some feedback. Whether I'm working one-on-one with a student, doing a podcast like this one, or presenting for a PD, my goal is always to provide as much value as I can. So your feedback really helps me make sure I'm doing just that. If you have other topics you'd like me to cover, leave in the feedback or message me on social media. You can follow me at The Autism Helper on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Pinterest, or visit my website, theautismhelper.com. Thanks again for listening.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Having the right resources for your classroom is essential to making sure your classroom is running smoothly. At the Autism Helper Shop, we have all of the resources you need to make sure you have the behavior, communication, and curriculum supports for your students. Within our shop, we have adapted books, task cards, resources aligned to the VBMAP and the ABLES, behavior plan flowcharts, data sheets, curriculum. Everything you need, whether you are an early childhood teacher or a high school teacher, we have all of the resources that will meet those students' needs. So head over to shop.theautismhelper.com to check out all of our resources.